I'm Angeline Hartman. As a journalist, I've covered some of the most bizarre crimes in history. Now, I work at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, helping families seek answers. My craft is storytelling. My passion is crime fighting. Hi, everyone. As part of our inside look into the case of Timothy Pitson, I want to give you one perspective that's never been shared publicly before. If you've been listening to this season since the beginning, you already know that Timothy's family is dealing with a lot. I talk to them regularly, and they often mention the ripple effects of this case. Other people outside their family who've been impacted in unimaginable ways, like Timothy's playmate who kept his bicycle waiting for him to return. Like the motel worker who discovered Amy Pitson's bloody scene. Like Timothy's kindergarten teacher who says that day changed her life.
I student taught in kindergarten, and I always knew I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher because I loved my kindergarten teacher.
Cheryl Broach has been a teacher for more than 25 years. When I first spoke to her, I didn't know what to expect. What she said really hit me, and I want you to hear her story just like I did. So I'm going to play our conversation for you, raw and unedited.
Can you tell me, what was it like? How was Timothy in your class?
Timothy was a very special little guy. He asked so many questions. He kept me on my toes. Because if I did not have an answer to a question, I had to find the answer, because he wouldn't give up until I had the answer. Very active guy. Loved to build with anything I had in the room. Loved puzzles, loved to draw. Talked from the minute he came into my classroom until the minute he left. Had lots of friends. Always had a smile on his face. Never was unhappy. Just an all-around good kid.
So let's talk about that day. Just walk me through what happened that day. And do you remember it?
Oh, like it was yesterday. I don't think I'll ever forget it. So that day, the two kindergarten classrooms are connected by our coat rooms, and then it was also connected by a room in between, and we shared a paraprofessional. And also that day, I was being observed by a second grade teacher who was going to be coming down and being a kindergarten teacher the following year. So she was in the room, and the kids came in, Timothy came in, and they eat breakfast in the classroom. And Timothy usually didn't eat because he'd already eaten. And they were eating breakfast, and the kids that don't eat were sitting on the carpet looking at some books. And it was very early. It was just a few minutes after 8, maybe 8:15 at the latest, that the buzzer rang in my classroom and said, "Excuse me, Miss Broach, I need Timothy Pitson for dismissal." And I just looked around to see if my paraprofessional was there, which she wasn't. And then I looked at the teacher that was observing, and I had this weird look on my face, like, and she wouldn't even know why I had a weird look. And I was like, okay. And Timothy jumped up and went to get his folder out of his mailbox and to grab his backpack. And I went and I said, "Hey, Timothy, do you have a doctor's appointment?" And he's like, "I don't know." And right away, I thought it was extremely odd, because every time that Timothy had been picked up in the past, we have a door right to the outside that the kids came in that goes to a blacktop playground area. And right on the other side of that playground area is a parking lot. And Mom would always park her SUV over there. And even though she knew the procedures, she would come to our door, knock on it, interrupt our teaching, and say, hey, I'm here to pick up Timothy. Could you get him ready? And then she would walk over the little bit to the office and then buzz and have Timothy come to the office.
In other words, she would do it. She would typically do it backwards rather than going to the office first.
Yes, ma'am.
She would go to the classroom first and then go to the office.
Exactly. And so I thought it was weird. So I looked out and didn't see mom's SUV. And I'm like, well, okay, maybe it's dad, but dad usually never picks him up. And so I get Timothy's stuff and the rest of the kids are still finishing up. And I tell them to come to the carpet and I open up the classroom door because they have to walk down a really long hallway. And then hanging from the ceiling is a round clock. And Timothy knows, and whatever kid would leave early, if they left early, I would watch him walk down that hallway. And then I say, turn left at the clock, and then you should see mom or dad. And so I tell Timothy, walk down the hallway, and when you see the clock, turn left. And so he walks down, and I'll never forget, he had on a pair of shorts. I don't remember the color right now. Or the shirt, but I do remember the Spider-Man backpack on his back. He walks down the hallway. He turns at the clock, turns around, waves, and says, see you tomorrow, Miss Broach. And he turns, and he takes off running down the hallway, which he's not supposed to, but it's all right. And he leaves. And I come back in, and then my parapro's there, and I said, this is weird. Timothy is already leaving, and he's only been in school 15 minutes? I'm like, why did he even come? And my parapro said, well, did Mrs. Pitson come to the door? And I'm like, no, you even think that's weird. And so then we went on about our day. And I thought about it every once in a while. But then, you know, I had the other kids and went about our day. And then at dismissal, we walk outside. And on the side street, all of a sudden, I saw Mr. Pitson's black Jeep. And I looked at my parapro and I said, something is very wrong.
You knew right away.
I knew. And he turned the corner and parked. And I said, I'll be right back. And the two other teachers stayed there. And I walked across the parking lot. And Mr. Pitson came out and walked towards me. And he said, where's Timothy? And I said, he's not here. And understandably, Mr. Pitson got angry and yelled something to the fact, like, where is he? What do you mean he's not here? And I said, Mr. Pitson, he's not here. Somebody came right after school started and signed him out and took him. And Mr. Pitson went to turn and walk back to the Jeep. And I said, Mr. Pitson, please go to the office and see who signed Timothy out. Make sure it's Mrs. Pitson, because the office is just right there. And so he went to the office, and I went and told the other two teachers, and then I walked down to the office, and he was already gone. And so I asked the secretaries, I said, who signed out Timothy? And they said, Mom. And I said, are you sure? And they showed me the sign out, and I said, so it's Mom. And I said, did you see her? And they said, yes. And I said, okay. So I went back, and I thought, this is weird. This is so weird, because why did he leave? Why was he yelling? Something is wrong. So it didn't sit well with me the rest of the day, and I hemmed and hawed. And then that was on a Wednesday. And then Thursday, he didn't come to school. And I was super upset. And I went to my building principal, and I said, Timothy's not here. And he knew the whole story. And I said, I really want to call the house and see what's going on. I said, because nobody called and called him in sick or anything. And I said, you know, something's just not right. I said, I just know something's wrong. And he's like, just wait and see if he comes to school on Monday, because Friday was an in-service day. And I thought to myself, you know, not to be mean, the principal's a little young, and I just really think I should call. And I was like, no, you need to be respectful and, you know, let's just wait and see.
But so it really sounds like you had a feeling.
I did. I just knew, just because the look on Mr. Pitson's face, you know, I just knew, because he was, I don't think he is anymore, but you know, I'm not around him a lot. He was just like Timothy. He's always happy-go-lucky, always had a smile on his face, you know, never had a bad word to say about anybody or anything. And for him to, you know, understandably get upset when I said he wasn't here and to have that look on his face, I just knew something wasn't right. And so then on Friday, we had an in-service day for teachers, and it was mid-morning, and I was in an in-service with a bunch of teachers, and all of a sudden I heard, "Miss Broach, please come to the office." And I'm thinking, oh, what did I do? You know, like everybody thinks when you get called to the office. And my principal met me in the hallway and said, "Miss Broach, there's two detectives here to talk to you about Timothy." And I just lost it, because I knew something was wrong. I just knew. And so I went in, and they explained to me that he'd been missing and that the mom had taken him and that they weren't sure what was going on and that all that. Jim is reporting both of them missing and hadn't heard from him. And I was really upset because I knew I probably should have called on Thursday. So I was mad at myself, beat myself up. And after they left, I looked at my principal and I said, "I respect you," I said, "and I listened to you yesterday," I said, "but now I'm going to leave and I'm going to go over to Mr. Pitson's house," I said, "because I should have done this yesterday." And so he just told me that I couldn't go alone. So my parapro and I went over. I remember Jim opening the door. Maybe it was his mother. One of them opened the door, and I just started crying and telling him I was sorry that I'd let Timothy leave, because still to this day, I feel it's my fault. Even though I know it's not, but I was the last person that had Timothy, you know, in their possession. And I know it was his mother, and legally I had to let him go with her. I was the one that let him walk out of that building. And no amount of therapy that I've gone to or anything is ever going to change the fact that I let that little boy walk out of that building. Until he is back with Jim, I'm never going to get that feeling out of my head. So I felt horrible, and I felt that I needed to go apologize to Jim and his mother. And I did. And then on Sunday, when I found out that Amy had taken her life and that Timothy really was gone, that was just unbearable. It was just unbearable. But then I knew that I had to get it together enough and to call my principal and assistant principal and tell them that we needed to come up with a plan, because there were 20 some other kids that were going to ask questions about where's Timothy. And lo and behold, those kids had already seen it on the news and wanted to know where he was. And so that was another really hard day to explain to kindergartners that their friend is gone.
Gosh.
It was very hard to walk back into that school on Monday, but I knew I had to do it for those kids, and I had to walk back into that school the rest of the school year. And that was hard. Just very hard.
My gosh.
I wouldn't wish this on anybody. No other teacher should ever have to feel this way. I did have a lot of support. They sent over all sorts of social workers to talk to the kids and to talk to the parents, because Timothy did have quite a few friends in there that he went on play dates with. And there are still some parents that reach out to me and ask me, do I know anything? Have I heard anything? What can they do? Their kids still ask. You know, so he's definitely not forgotten by his classmates that he had. You know, people still talk about him all the time, you know. It was very rough. And then we have a kindergarten graduation, and that was very rough, knowing that he wasn't there.
These are the things that most people don't realize, the ripple effects in a case like this. While Timothy's family is devastated, Miss Broach says her life is forever changed too.
Anytime my classroom gets buzzed and a kid is asked for early release, I have a panic attack. And it's not like I can tell parents that you can't early release your children, because I have a panic attack, but I do. I, you know, in the office, even at my new school, they know that, you know, make sure it's the parent, you know, but, you know, even if it's a parent, you never know, because it was Timothy's mother that took him. I have a panic attack until the next day, until I see that child, you know, and it happens.
Oh, God.
It's just something that I have to work through and deal with for the rest of my life now.
And when you saw you've seen it over and over again, the footage of Timothy leaving school with his mom.
Yep.
When did you see that, and
I actually, that day that he left, I truly did not believe the secretaries that it was. I mean, I saw her signature and I knew her signature because it was on millions of things. And I kept saying, are you sure? Are you sure? And they showed it to me. They showed it to me right there that day, that Wednesday, May 11th, they showed it to me. And then I saw it again when the police officer showed it to me. And then when the detective said, is this Timothy's mother? And I said, yes, that's Timothy's mother. Because I had to identify her as well as Jim on the video footage. And because I always thought, if I would have walked him down, could have I changed her mind? Which I know her mind was made up. But, and you know, and I can't play that woulda, coulda, shoulda game. But it's just, you know, it's always there. If I would have walked him down.
Sure.
You know. Would things have been different, which I'm sure it wouldn't have, but, you know, if she would have seen me, could something have triggered in her that would have stopped her?
Well, I think when something like this happens, right, you're just constantly asking questions about how you could have changed things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am glad to hear you say that you know that this is not your fault. And you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. I have to keep telling myself that all the time. You know, Timothy's birthday is 2 days before mine. And so that was another connection Timothy and I have is, you know, we were birthday buddies. And so they know that, you know, like when May comes around, that I post something on Facebook, that when our birthdays come around, I post something that on Facebook, my picture is Timothy's poster, that a bunch of us still wear his bracelets that I had made. Some of the kids that are in the classroom still wear his bracelets. You know, the community still, you know, they want answers. They still want to know where he is.
Miss Broach told me she's been forever labeled as that teacher, the kindergarten teacher of that missing boy. She's fully aware of the label, and it hurts. Miss Broach says she just tries to focus on the day Timothy will be back home.
I just want to look at Timothy and tell him I'm sorry. You know? That's all I want to tell him. And then another thing I want to show him is that because I told you how his birthday is by mine, and he, and I have it in my other room with my computer. He gave me this goofy velvet moose for my birthday. And just came smiling in that day of my birthday and said, "Miss Broach, I got you a birthday present," and hands me this goofy red velvet moose. And it sat in my classroom forever. And then after he disappeared, I brought it home, and it sits next to my computer ever since. And people ask me about it. So Timothy gave it to me. And I know it was probably one of his toys from home, and he just thought it was important to give it to me. And see, that's another thing. Kindergartners do stuff like that, and that's stuff kindergarten teachers keep. So I can't wait to be able to show Timothy that I still have the moose, and I hope he remembers that he gave it to me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I hope he remembers.
You clearly believe that Timothy is out there and he's alive.
Yes, ma'am. Timothy is out there. He is alive, and he is going to come home one day.
I believe that too.
Thank you.
Coming up on Inside Crime.
The phone was ringing. We finally just didn't answer it anymore. I mean, they were knocking on the door, and it was pretty much of a nightmare. You felt sort of like a hunted animal.
That's coming up on Inside Crime. I'm your host, Angeline Hartman. Be sure to check out my website, insidecrime.org, to find out how you can get more involved behind the scenes. Inside Crime is an independently produced podcast, and you can help support our work through Patreon. Just go to insidecrime.org. Thanks, everyone.